Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The noble lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaykh Abdul Ghani Maqdisi rahmatullahi, records the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lineage as follows: Abu al-Qasim Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdul Munaf ibn Qusay ibn Kilab ibn Murra ibn Ka'b ibn Lawi ibn Ghalib ibn Fahl ibn Malik ibn Nadir ibn Kinana ibn Khuzaimah ibn Mudrika ibn Ilyas ibn Mudar ibn Nidhar ibn Ma'ad ibn Adnan ibn Ud. He further continues relating the noble lineage until Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, although himself states that the lineage from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam to Adnan ibn Ud is anonymously accepted, but thereafter it is questionable. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam's noble mother was Amina bint Wahab, whose lineage converges with his paternal lineage at Abdul Munaf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam's auspicious birth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's auspicious birth took place in Makkah Mukarramah on Monday 2nd, 9th or 12th of Rabiul Awwal in the year of the elephant. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father Sayyidina Abdullah passed away before the blessed birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although some are of the opinion that he passed away when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was 28 months old, and according to another opinion, 7 months old. One opinion is that he passed away at a place called Abwa, was another is that he passed away in Medina Munawwara. Up until recently, the location of his grave was reported to be at Darul Nabigha in Medina Munawwara. It was also at Darul Nabigha that the Prophet and his respected mother stayed when they went to visit his maternal family. Custody and suckling. When the Prophet reached the age of 4 or 5 or 6 years, according to one opinion, his mother Amina passed away and he was taken into care by Abdul Muttalib, his noble grandfather. At the age of 8, he too departed from this world. The Prophet ﷺ was suckled by Thuwaybah, the slave girl of Abu Lahab, who at the time was suckling her own son. During the same period, either before or other after, Thuwaybah also suckled Hazrat Sayyidina Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and Abu Salama, Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad al-Makhzumi. Hence, both are brothers to the Prophet ﷺ through suckling, in foster brothers. Like Thuwaybah, Sayyidina Hadima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha also had the privilege of suckling the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ's blessed names. Regarding the Prophet ﷺ's names, Sayyidina Jubair ibn Mutim radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Prophet ﷺ himself said, "Inni ana Muhammad. Wa ana Ahmad wa ana al-Mahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." I am Muhammad and I am Ahmad and I am Mahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through whom Allah eliminates unbelief. Mahi means to rub off. I am Hashir, behind whom people shall be resurrected, and I am Aqib, the seal of the prophets, as there shall be no prophet after me. Similarly, Sayyidina Abu Musa radiallahu anhu narrates regarding the blessed names of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related many names to us, some of which we remember. Ana Muhammad wa ana Ahmad wal Muqaffi wa Nabiyyu Tawbah wa Nabiyyu Rahmah. I am Muhammad, I am Ahmad, I am Muqaffi, Nabiyyu Tawbah and Nabiyyu Rahmah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another narration, there is the addition of Nabiyyu al-Malhama. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana Ahmad wa ana Muhammad wa ana al-Mahi alladhi yamhu Allahu bi al-kufra فَإِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ لِوَاءُ الْحَمَّعِي وَكُنْتُ إِمَامُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَصَاحِبَ شَفَاعَتِهِمْ صلى الله عليه وسلم. I am Ahmad, I am Muhammad, and I am Hashir, I am Mahi, through whom Allah eliminates him and unbelief. On the day of judgment, the banner of praise, لِوَاءُ الْحَمْ, will be with me. I am the leader of all the prophets and messengers, and I am the one who shall intercede on their behalf. صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah Most Glorified has also given the Prophet some titles such as Al-Bashir, bearer of good news, Nadir, warner, Ra'uf, compassionate, Rahim, merciful, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, mercy for the worlds. Some scholars have recorded hundreds and even thousands. And inshallah, we'll read Salatu Wasalam that the Shaykh compiled, Hazrat Muhammad, my Shaykh, with 99 names of Allah that are in the Hadith. With that, the 99 names of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are about thousands of names of Rasulullah and thousands of Allahs, but 99 in the Hadith are mentioned in the Mishkat Sharif. Imam Tirmizi has mentioned 99 names of Allah in one hadith. O Allah, الذي لا إله رحمن الرحيم ملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المحيم العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البار to وارث الرشيد السبوه. So like that, يا رحمن صلي وسلم على النبي البرهان, يا رحيم صلي وسلم على النبي الوسيم, يا ملك صلي وسلم على النبي الورع. Like that. Name of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, name of Allah's, and with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his title, with his name. Inshallah, we'll read that today. Allah Most Glorified has also given the Prophet, some scholars have recorded hundreds and even thousands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed names and titles. In particular, Sheikh al-Hadith, Musa Ruhani Bazi. You guys remember Ruhani Bazi yesterday? What? Yes, his grave smells. He just passed away recently. And Allama Lahori's too. When Sheikh Ahmad Lahori's grave smells, so people used to take sand around it. Once his son went and he said to his dad, "Dad, it's enough now. It's enough. I'm not going to put more sand on your grave. If people still smelling, they take it. I'm not going to rethink your grave." So then it stopped. As the Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori, Maulana was talking about yesterday, Maulana Murshid Sahib. Sheikh in his book mentions whole stories about Sheikh Ahmad Ali Lahori, ajeeb person he was. All these stories that Maulana mentioned, more all these stories Hazrat has mentioned about Hazrat Maulana. And even his son, who used to be in Medina Munawwara, very good friends with Hazrat. He's very, very good friends with our Sheikh and Hazrat Sheikh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakiya rahmatullahi. So Maulana Musa Ruhani Bazi is also in the same graveyard, and his grave smell. Also, Hazrat Sheikh rahmatullahi alayhi, his grave smelled too. And obviously Imam Bukhari's grave, it used to smell too. Understand? So there are many. There's a whole list of people whose grave used to smell. And that's the blessing of hadith and blessing of their connection with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Approximately 25 years ago, was in seclusion at the Kaf in Muslim Nabi sallam during the last 10 days of Ramadan. This most unworthy slave, the author is referring to himself, Yuni my Shaykh, Hazrat Yusuf sahab, prepared a compilation of blessings and salutations. It comprised of 100 names of Allah, each name coupled with the title of the Prophet of similar rhyme. It was titled Salatu Salam ala Sayyid al-Anam bi Ismail Ilahi wa al-Laqab al-Nabawiyya. When we received the printed version a day before Eid, Sheikh Maqsood Ahmad Gangad distributed them ardently in Masjid Nabi, custody of the Prophet. The Prophet was raised as an orphan in Makkah Mukarramah. His grandfather took care of him initially, and thereafter his uncle Abu Talib received the honor. Allah Most High always protected the Prophet from all the evils and impurities of pre-Islamic times, kept him pure from all defects, and adorned him with all praiseworthy character traits. Thus, Allah's Messenger was known amongst his people as the trustworthy Al-Amin. For the Quraysh had witnessed his trustworthiness, truthfulness, and his chaste life of piety and purity. Journey to Yemen. Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullah mentions a narration in Kitabul Wafa, that when the Prophet ﷺ turned slightly older than thing, that's the Kitab al-Wafa is there, Wafa bi Ahwal al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that brown one. It's in Arabic. It's a very nice book on Rasulullah ﷺ, very good book. Journey to Yemen. Ibn al-Jawzi mentions a narration in Kitab al-Wafa that when the Prophet ﷺ turned slightly older than 10 years of age, he accompanied his uncle Zubair ibn Abdul Muttalib to Yemen. He mentions two miracles that took place during this journey. Firstly, they had to pass through a valley on their journey, but people were unable to cross it due to a wild camel. However, when it saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it laid its neck down on the ground as a domestic animal does to express its love and obedience to its owner. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dismounted his own ride and mounted this wild camel. He then rode the camel to the other side of the valley before he sallallahu alaihi wasallam dismounted. Secondly, on the return journey, their caravan reached a valley that was flooded, and there seemed to be no apparent way of crossing it. The Prophet ﷺ instructed the people to follow behind him. As soon as he ﷺ stepped into the water, the earth swallowed up the water and became dry instantaneously. Upon their return to Makkah Mukarramah, when the travelers informed the people of Makkah Mukarramah of the miracles, there was only one statement on their tongues: "This boy shall attain a high status." First journey to Sham. When the Prophet ﷺ was 12 years of age, he traveled to Sham with his uncle Abu Talib. Imagine, as a businessman, 12. At the age of 12, I went to the Ardum Bari. Understand? And Rasulullah ﷺ went all the way to Sham on a business trip with his uncle. So, how accepted was it? Abu Talib, when they reached Busra, a monk called Buhayra saw the Prophet ﷺ and recognized him by his attributes. He held his blessed hand and remarked, "This is the leader of the worlds. This is the messenger of the Lord of the worlds, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Most High shall send him as a mercy for the worlds." How do you know? Buhayra was asked. He replied, as you were coming through the valley, I saw that there was no tree or stone except that it fell into prostration, sajda before him. These things only prostrate to prophets. We also find mention of the final prophet in our divine books. Buhayra then requested Abu Talib to return back with the Prophet ﷺ, expressing his fear of the Jews inflicting harm upon the Prophet ﷺ. Thus Abu Talib returned with him. Second journey to Sham in marriage to Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The second journey was undertaken as a business trip on behalf of Sayyidina Khadijah al-Kubra in the company of her slave Maysara. During this journey, when a monk called Nustura saw Allah's Messenger ﷺ, he went into an emotional state. The words he uttered bear testimony to this. Huwa huwa nabiyyun huwa huwa akhirul anbiya. It is him, it is the Prophet, it is him, the last of the Prophets. This journey took place before he saw Sunnah Mir Sayyidatna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. He reached the market of Basra and completed his trade. When the Prophet was 25 years of age, he married Sayyidatna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prophethood. When he reached 40 years of age, Allah Most High bestowed upon him a special honor and favor. Jibreel came to him with the message of apostleship, Risala, whilst he was in the cave of Hira. O Allah, make our hearts Hira. O Allah, make our hearts Hira. That's what they're saying. I mean, there are two mountains, see there, in Makkah Mukarramah, Hira and Thabir. Just like the devoted companions at the Battle of Badr and other expeditions competed with one another in sacrificing themselves for Allah's Messenger, these two mountains vied with one another too. The Prophet ﷺ was on Mount Sabir and the enemies were persecuting him. The mountain exclaimed, "Ihbit anni fa inni akhafu an yaqtuluka ala dhahri fa yu'adhibani Allah." Descend from me, as I fear the enemy may take your life and I may be subject to the punishment of Allah for not saving you from them. The mountain said this to Rasulullah. Mountains hear each other and converse too. Hira heard this from Sabir and invited the Prophet to it. As Sabir had offered its excuse, it was as if Hira was ready to undergo anything for the Prophet. Hence, on another occasion when the Prophet was on Mount Hira, along with the noble caliphs, the mount went into a profound emotional state, ecstasy, wajj. Understand? Because the Prophet Sahabas, it realized how beloved and joyous a moment it was to caress and kiss the blessed feet of the Prophet of the universe, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Lord, the blessed feet of the beloved of the universe and the Lord of the world, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed it, saying, "Uskun ya Hira, fa inna alayka nabiyyun aw siddiqun aw shahidun." Settle down, O Hira, for there is a Prophet, a Siddiq, Abu Bakr Siddiq, and a martyr on you, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who became shaheed in Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah was saying this in Makkah. The Prophet stayed in Makkah Mukarramah for 13 years after being granted prophethood. Throughout his stay in Makkah Mukarramah, he offered salat facing Baytul Maqdis in such a manner that he will not have his back towards the Kaaba, but rather he will offer salat in a way that he faced towards Baytul Maqdis and the Holy Kaaba at the same time. After migrating to Medina Munawwara, the Prophet ﷺ offered salat facing Baytul Maqdis for 16 or 17 months. It was after enduring 13 years of relentless torture at the hands of the Meccans that the Prophet ﷺ and his noble companions were ordered to migrate to Medina Munawwara by the command of Allah. Migration. The Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina Munawwara with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq and his slave, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, Amir ibn Fuhira. Abdullah ibn Araqait al-Laythi was their guide on the route. There is no evidence of him having embraced Islam. It is most likely that he remained an unbeliever. These three companions set out for migration with death following close behind them. However, Allah made it such that not even 10 years had passed since migrating when the Prophet ﷺ set out for Tabuk with 30,000 devoted companions in order to challenge not only the Meccans but all the advocates of falsehood across the globe. The migration was a journey of oppression, whilst that of Tabuk was heroic, and the last journey of to Mecca at the time of the farewell pilgrimage, Hajjatul Wada, was full of love. Thousands of people as far as the eyes could see were awaiting a simple glimpse of the Prophet ﷺ's beauty. Everyone was receiving love from the prophetic court, both on the way to the farewell pilgrimage and on the return. Now, if you study these journeys of the Prophet ﷺ with your innermost heart and mind, drawing comparisons in this manner, you will derive extreme pleasure. May Allah Most High enable us to study the moments of the Prophet ﷺ's pure life correctly, like the way Hazrat is explaining here. And may He enable us to keep the Prophet ﷺ ingrained and embedded in our hearts and mind at all times. The Prophet stayed in Medina Munawwara for a period of 10 years. The details of these 10 years of the Prophet's life will be disclosed in the forthcoming topics. They include his expeditions, journey for Umrah and Hajj, mention of the noble companions with whom he saw some dispatched letters specifically inviting certain kings and leaders of the world to Islam, the number of expeditions undertaken for the general propagation of Islam, those appointed as the leader of the expeditions, detail of the marriages of the Prophet, three of which took place in Makkah Mukarramah to Sayyidina Khadija al-Kubra, Sayyidina Sauda, and Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, and the rest whom he married in Medina Munawwara. Detailed accounts of all these topics are contained in the coming pages. Demise. The Prophet passed away at the age of 63 on Monday, 12th Rabi'ul Awwal, and his burial took place on the night of Wednesday. In total, the Prophet remained ill for 12 or 14 days before passing away. Those who bathed the Prophet were Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abbas, Sayyidina Fadl ibn Abbas, Qutb ibn Abbas, Usama bin Zayd, Sakran, radiallahu ta'ala anhum jama'in. The latter two were freed slaves of the Prophet. During the process, Sayyidina Aws ibn Qawla Ansari radiallahu anhum was also present. The Prophet was shrouded in three clothes made in the Yemeni city of Suhal. The three clothes did not contain lengthy shirt, kameez, or a turban, amama. The Muslims offered his funeral prayer individually without an imam. A red sheet which he used to use was laid out in the grave beneath him. Those who lowered him into the blessed grave was Sayyidina Abbas, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Fadl ibn Abbas, Sayyidina Kuthum, and Sayyidina Sakran radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. After the burial, the grave was sealed with 9 bricks. The Prophet was buried in the very same place he passed away, where his bedding lay. The grave was dug and formed as a lahad, grave with a side chamber in which the body is placed. It was dug in the very room he shared with Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Subsequently, Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhuma were also buried in the same room. Marhaba Sayyidina. The Prophet's sons. The Prophet of Allah had 3 sons. Number 1, Qasim. The Prophet's agnomen kunya, Abu al-Qasim, is derived from this child. He was born in Makkah Mukarramah before Prophethood and passed away there at the tender age of 2. Number 2, Abdullah, he was born after Prophethood. 3, Ibrahim, he was born in Medina Munawwara and passed away in 10 after Hijri at a tender age of just 17 or 18 months. The Prophet's daughter, Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala, her husband's name was Abu al-As, who was the son of Hala bint Khuwailid, and thus Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha's maternal cousin, from whom she bore the following children. 1, Ali, he passed away in his childhood. 2, Umama, the Prophet used to pick her up during Salat. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu married her after the death of Sayyidina Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala. Number 2, Sayyidina Fatima, she was the wife of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. She had 3 sons, Hassan, Hussein, Muhsin, who passed away in his childhood. She had 2 daughters, Umm Kulthum, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu married her, and Sayyidina Zainab, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Jafar radiallahu ta'ala married her. 3, Sayyidina Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala, she was the wife of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan Zunnurain radiallahu ta'ala and passed away while still married to him. She had a son called Abdullah, hence she was referred to as Abdullah. 4, Sayyidina Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu married her after the death of Sayyidina Ruqayya radiallahu ta'ala. She too passed away whilst married to him. There is no difference of opinion regarding the Prophet ﷺ having 4 daughters. Everyone is unanimously agreed on this. The correct view regarding the Prophet ﷺ's son is that he had 3 sons. Another view is of 4 sons, and a third opinion is of 5 sons, based on considering Tayyib and Tahir as separate sons. The correct opinion is that the Prophet ﷺ had 3 sons, Tayyib, Tahir, both being titles of Abdullah, who was born after prophethood. The Prophet ﷺ's first child was Qasim, because of whom he was referred to as Abu al-Qasim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Zainab, Ruqayya, Fatima, Umm Kulthum, and thereafter Abdullah, who was born in Makkah Mukarramah after Prophethood, and finally Ibrahim, who was born in Medina Munawwara. All the Prophet's children were born from Sayyidina Khadija bint Khuwailid radiallahu ta'ala anha, except Sayyidina Ibrahim, who was born from Sayyidina Maria al-Qibtiyah. All the Prophet's children passed away during his lifetime, except Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, who passed away 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chaste wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The mothers of the believers, Sayyidina Khadija bint Khuwailid. The first wife of Allah's Messenger was the mother of the believers, Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Khadija al-Kubra bint Khuwailid radiallahu ta'ala anha. He married her when he was 25 years old. She remained with the Prophet and Allah Most High granted him prophethood while she was with him. Hence, she used to advise the Prophet with all honesty and sincerity. She passed away 3 years prior to the migration. This is the correct opinion. The second opinion is of her passing away 5 years before the migration. And third opinion is of 4 years before. Two, the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Sauda radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Prophet married her after the death of Sayyidina Khadija the Kubra in Makkah al-Mukarramah before the migration. She was previously married to Sakran ibn Amr, brother of Suhail ibn Amr. The Prophet intended to divorce her on one occasion, but she gifted her day, distributed equally between the wives to Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Thus, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept her in his wedlock. Three, the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Prophet married her in Makkah Mukarramah 2 years prior to the migration. One view is that he married her 3 years before the migration when she was 6 or 7 years old. She moved in with the Prophet in Medina Munawwara 7 months or 18 months after the migration at the age of 9. When the noble Prophet passed away, she was 18 years of age. She passed away in Medina Munawwara and was buried in Baqi according to her instructions. She passed away in 57 after Hijri or 58 after Hijri, and her funeral salat was led by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. The Prophet did not marry any virgin woman besides her. Her agnom and kunya was Ummi Abdullah, mother of Abdullah. It is mentioned that she miscarried a child of the Prophet, hence she was referred to as Ummi Abdullah, although this narration is questionable. Four, the mother of the believer, Sayyidina Hafsa bint Amr bin Al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. The Prophet married Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was previously married to Kunais ibn Hudhafa radiallahu ta'ala, a companion of the Prophet who participated in the Battle of Badr and passed away in Medina Munawwara. It has been reported that the Prophet divorced Sayyidina Hafsa. Consequently, the angel Jibreel arriving saying, Inna Allah ya'muruka an turaji'a Hafsa. فَإِنَّهَا صَوَّامَةٌ قَوَّامَةٌ وَإِنَّهَا زَوْجَتُكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah commands you to take Hafsa back, for she fasts and stands in prayer in abundance, and she will be your wife in paradise. Sayyidina Uqbah ibn Amir al-Juhani radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet ﷺ divorced Hafsa bint Amr. When the news reached Sayyidina Umar, he began throwing salt over his head, saying, "What will Allah care for Umar and his daughter now?" On the following day, Jibreel ﷺ came to the Prophet ﷺ informing him Allah commanded him to take Hafsa back out of pity on Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Hafsa passed away in 27 or 28 after Hijri. This year is known as the African year. Five, the mother of the believer, Sayyidina Umm Habiba bint Abi Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Her name was Ramla bint Sakhr. She migrated to Abyssinia with her husband Ubaidullah ibn Jahash. Upon reaching there, he became a Christian, but Allah Most High kept Umm Habiba steadfast on Islam. Subsequently, the Prophet married her while she was still in Abyssinia, and the Najashi gave her 400 dinars as dowry on behalf of the noble Prophet. I mentioned this. Umm Habiba. It was for her sake that Allah's Messenger sent Amr ibn Umayyah al-Damuri to Abyssinia. Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu acted as the legal guardian, wali, and accepted the marriage proposal. Another opinion is that Khalid ibn Sayyid ibn al-As was the legal guardian. Six, the mother of the believer, Sayyidina Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha. Her name was Hind bint Umayyah. She was previously married to Abu Salama Abdullah ibn Abdul Asad. She passed away in 62 after Hijri and was buried in Medina Munawwara in Baqi. This is the last wife to pass away. She was the Razai mother of our spiritual father in our lineage, Hassan al-Basri. Understand? She used to feed him. And it said that everything that Hassan al-Basri radiallahu ta'ala anhu got was from her, Salama, Ummul Mu'mineen, the Prophet's wife. Understand? She loved him very much. She passed away and she used to get milk miraculously from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to feed Hazrat Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. That's why they say that he talked the most wisdom, the most resemblance in talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too. Allah gave him such speech, Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi. She passed away in 62 after Hijri and was buried in Medina Munawwara in Baqi. She was the last of the Prophet's wife to pass away, although there is an opinion that Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu anha was the last. Seven, the mother of the believer, Sayyidina Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was the daughter of the Prophet's paternal aunt Umayma. She was previously married to the freed slave of the Prophet ﷺ, Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd ibn Haritha divorced her and Allah performed her wedlock with the Prophet ﷺ above the heavens. Performed her wedlock with the Prophet above the heavens and no formal marriage ceremony was held on earth. An authentic narration states that she used to say to the rest of the Prophet's Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's chaste wives, radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, that their marriage were performed and conducted by their fathers and grandfathers, whereas her marriage was conducted by Allah Most High above the seven heavens. She passed away in Madinah Munawwara in 20 after Hijri and was buried in Baqi. And she was one that used to revolt Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. There used to be two parties of Rasulullah's wife, one Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and her friends against Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab used to boast that my nikah was from up there. So they always used to. But you know how clean Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was, and such a lovely woman she was, such a pious woman she was. Like the biggest thing, Rasulullah had an event of a slander against his wife in his life too. Now that is very severe. And who the most beloved wife, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Allah, we read this in yesterday, Qiyamul Layl, and the day before, in Surah Nur, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ أُسْوَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوا شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلَهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And Allah revealed her innocence. But it said that when Rasulullah took advices from different people, and when he went to Hazrat Zainab, now remember Zainab is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's co-wife, right? That they're married to the Prophet, both of them, and they have their rivals against each other, always. When Rasulullah said, Zainab, what do you think of Aisha? That was the best time to give some, even some, put a little bit butter on, and just a little bit. It's all right. Maybe she could have done it, but you don't need to worry. You have all these other wives, or something like that. She could have said something. She said, "I only know of her piety. She cannot do such a thing." And that's how clean Hazrat Zainab was. Understand? These people were so clean-hearted. Understand? That's Subhanallah. Otherwise, every day they'll be bombarding and battling each other. Why? My beloved. Everybody wants the beloved. So this is permissible. Understand? This is permissible. Hazrat Zainab, or one Zawjah Mutahhar radiallahu anha, sent something in her time, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's time, and when the maidservant came, she went, knocked it. And she knocked it right off the bowl. And Rasulullah laughed and she said, "Your mother got jealous, your mother got upset. Gerat grabbed her, your mother." And he didn't comment on this. That's not a thing. So they had that. But when it came to the time of her honor, Hazrat Zainab radiallahu anha said, "I only knew good of her. And she's only pious. No way she could have done such a thing like this." This is how clean they were. Understand? And today if we get a chance like that, oh ho ho ho. Allahu Akbar. The mothers of the believer, Sayyidina Jawariyah. The mother of the believer, Sayyidina Zainab bint Khuzaymah. So Rasulullah, two wives named Zainab bint Jahash and Zainab bint Khuzaymah. Zainab bint Jahash was, I think, also Rasulullah's cousin too. Mother of the believer, Zainab bint Khuzaymah. Her title was Mother of the Destitute, Ummul Masakin, as she will abundantly feed the indigents. She was previously married to Abdullah ibn Jahash. It has also been said that she was previously married to Abu Tawfil ibn al-Harith. The Prophet married her in 3 after Hijri. She only lived with him for 2 or 3 months before she passed away. 9, the mother of the believer, Sayyidina Jawariyah bint al-Harith. You know about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, a lot of people attack. Hazrat has explained this in this book very much. All of you should get this book, inshallah. We're going to get so many copies of this, buy it. It's very good, in somewhere in the middle somewhere. I was reading it. He's explained very, very lovely that you've never read before how Rasulullah, when he married Hazrat Aisha at the age of 6 or 7, she came at the 9, and how he explains, okay, what kind of relation he had with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And subhanallah, it's ajeeb why Allah, the way that Allah commanded Rasulullah for all these marriages. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's power is, if he had 400 wives, that may be enough for him. If he had 400. 40 would have been very less wives for the Prophet ﷺ. His power was so much, that in one narration he said he went to all 9 wives in one day. And then one after the other, then he took one ghusl. He had so much power, but he had so much sabr, and he killed his ego and desire, that he didn't have, if it was us, a person would explode in that hotness. But Rasulullah ﷺ had so much power, if he had 40 wives, it would have been less for him. Imagine you only had 9 at one time. It would have been less. My sheikh, before he got his second wife, he has 2 wives, my sheikh does. With his second wife, he's got 6 children. With his first wife, he only has 1. Right? So when my sheikh, when the Hakim saw him many years ago in India, he said, "You have a power of 16 years old. How much sabr are you doing?" Understand? He wanted to marry when his sheikh was alive. As a sheikh, alhamdulillah, but his sheikh said, "Never ever take mashura of your sheikh for a second marriage. That's one thing you don't do. You just get married a second time, but don't take mashura from your sheikh." So he goes, "My sheikh, after many years, he's married to a second wife now, alhamdulillah, and he's got 6 children. And all of his daughters' names are the daughters of the Prophet, Fatima, Zainab, Umm Kulthum, Kulthum and Ruqayyah. and he has two sons with six children. And with his first wife, he only had one daughter. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will. Now his second wife, he has a thing. But my shaykh, even him, the Hakim said, subhanallah, you have a power of a young 16 years old. And he was 53 at that time, my shaykh was. Understand? So these people, Mashaykh Hazrat Al-Ustaz, who taught us Bukhari Sharif, he's buried in Medina, Munawwarah, my stomach's up. He used to say, the more zikr of a person who's the God-fearing, taqwa, you know, all these things, this gives a person more shahwat. And he has more shahwat, but they control it. These people are more stronger. Physically and they're more stronger too, understand? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anybody attacks that, say, Allahu Akbar, imagine the most handsome man in Makkah. Every single girl would love to marry this young man. He's so handsome. Not just that, he's from the greatest family and he's a great businessman too. Understand? Everybody loves him. Not one girl would deny him. Understand? But he marries a 40 years old. Imagine, 40 years old widow. Khadijat al-Kubra, our mother, Ummul Mu'mineen, radiallahu ta'ala. And in that prime age of total power, in that total power, age 25 until the age of 53, only one wife he has a Khadijat al-Kubra. And then after the age of 53, he gets married to another 11, 12. Imagine. Did he do this for shahwat? Na'uzu billahi min dhalik. So if any devil or any shaitan has this in his head, because only a kafir would think like this. If a Muslim thinks like this, inna lillahi wa inna, his iman is in question. Understand? Rasulullah, it's just aqal. You know, a person doesn't even have to read, he just has to use his brains. And it's a history proven fact that nobody could deny that Rasulullah did not marry any other wife until the age of 53 or 52 maybe. And maybe one was in Makkah, like Sauda. But all the other ones are in Medina, Munawwarah. And he done Hijrah at the age of 53. So he only had one wife. And even that, she was 40 and he was 25. He could have got any single virgin, not one, but 20 of them would be in line for Rasulullah. So was he a man? Na'uzu billahi min dhalik. Can even somebody think like that? A Muslim cannot. A mu'min, if you ever did, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Never let these, see all these things that come today? They are shaking our iman. Don't stay with people like that. Even the Shias do this. Na'uzu billahi min dhalik. Understand? The enemies, the Rawafis, their salat is not accepted until they curse the Sahaba. So these people, even in front of the grave of the Prophet ﷺ, right in front of Prophet ﷺ, they're cursing Hazrat Umar al-Faruq and thing. And they say that Hazrat Mahdi, one of the first jobs he'll do is he'll whip these two. Take them out of their graves and whip them. Na'uzubillah. There's many, many. Those ones who are extremists in the views of the Rawafis, they're very, very devilish. Now, and it says 70,000 Asfahani Jews will be with Dajjal. And where's Asfahan? It's in Iran. So think. And they're making their way to Medina. Now they have thing to bury themselves. If you were there in the Prophet ﷺ masjid right now when I went in March, everywhere they're beside you. You can't even pray Salah. And they're doing all these funny things in Salah. You're thinking, what are they doing? Understand? Totally different. Now, remember, those Shias that slander or they talk bad, they're the evil ones. But they say that you should not call all Shias kafir. Their ulamas or their leaders are kafir. As a Gangohi used to say that. Otherwise, just call all Shias kafir because many of them are ignorant people, jahil people who don't know. But this is some of their aqidahs are so severe. Now, if a person had a religion, they follow religion, it's all right. But if they're in front of you, beside you, and they're cursing, or their salat is not accepted until they curse the Sahaba, they say only three were Muslim. The Salman has a Migdad, and another Sahabi. Only them and the Ahlul Bayt. Every single Sahabi became Murtad, na'uzu billah, after the Prophet. That's what they say. Our Ustaz has a Maulana Yusuf, when he came for 3 days now, he was talking about this. And he said that we have to talk about this because of the fitna right now. My Shaykh says this one, it may be in here too, and in all his books, all around the world, nothing is happening to them, nothing is happening to them, nothing, nothing. Nobody's touching them. Every single place is Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat Sunni are being tortured. Think, question mark, think. These are the forerunners with Dajjal. Actually, it was a Jewish-made religion, Abdullah bin Sabah. Understand? Shiism is a Jewish-made religion. Understand? Abdullah bin Sabah made it. And people say, what's wrong with But it's something very big wrong. Understand? Their mazhab is that. So they attack this. They say, na'uzubillah, things about Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and other things, so severe. And even to, they attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too, na'uzubillah. They don't let anybody go. Because it's you know how the Protestants and the other, you know, Christianity, in the true sense, as Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's religion, then they came in. These people who want to kill humanity, think they're only the chosen one. They think they only have the rights to live. They came in and they destroyed whole Christianity. Same way they came in the time of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and they tried to destroy Islam by making another religion. But they didn't succeed. Jung-e Jamal, Jung-e Safi, and all these wars that happened, they were on this side and this side, and they're the ones who did all this. Understand? Allah did it, because Allah is the one who does. But Allah made these evil ones do it. Understand? So they're very, very evil. They're very, very evil. And in the world, nowhere, they're going to become the superpower. Understand? Nothing's going to happen to them. Because this is right. As all this is being taped, shalom. It's all right. They'll grab me. Allah protects. And the mother of the believers, so they're evil, understand? They're very, very evil people. So imagine 70,000 Jews from Isfahan. Where's Isfahan? Where is it? Iraq. Iran. It's in Iran, yeah. Understand? So where did they all come? Where are they all going to go there? They're there. That's where they are. It's a religion. Abdullah bin Sabah, he was a Jew from Yemen. He came in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He started this religion, Shism. Understand? A very, very ugly. If a person wants to do zina, become a Shia. Everybody wants to do zina, don't they? Everybody likes to have any woman, so a person becomes Shia. So how do the Qadianis give dawat? Through women and money. So all these fake things. So if you want to destroy your akhirah, this thing. And people think there's nothing wrong with it. That these friends that people have are very, very dangerous. You understand? As many, many Muslims are getting to question marks concerning Sahaba. Imagine if you get so polluted to have evil thoughts about the Sahaba, how low can you get? You got to be low to have any evil thoughts about any Sahabas. And evil thoughts about anything about Islam. Understand, this is enslave of the thoughts. You're like the way the cigarette enslaves you and the drugs enslave you. You can't do without it. Same way your thoughts even get enslaved against Islam. Anything like this. If somebody starts questioning na'uzubillah Rasulullah's wives, this person, what iman does he have? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahu Akbar. You somebody starts questioning or saying, or if some, so if anybody talks like that in front of you, he claims to be a Muslim. Say, you can go in hell with whoever, but we don't talk like this about Rasulullah and his wives. Na'uzubillah. Understand? And if any of these people come with you, you know what? The best thing is don't stick around with people like that. Otherwise, it will influence you for sure. Forget that. Just all these bulletin boards and all this media and all this internet has totally polluted Muslims to such extent that people are on the bridge of kufr. On the bridge of kufr. Understand? This is why these gatherings, this type of sohbat is so necessary, so necessary. We need this type. Understand? We need pious people around us. We need people doing dhikr Quran. We need people of right thoughts. We need to stick with ulamas who have right thoughts, who are connected to the Salafi Salihin, who are connected to the Salaf, who are also connected to purification of the inner self. Is very, very important this time and age. There's so much fitna, so much fitna. When Rasulullah said this, it is so true. Forget anybody else. Every day I fear this. When my father-in-law is here, at least I fear, okay, inshallah my iman will be alright because he's around. But right now, every day I think, tonight I might die as a kafir. And tomorrow morning I might. Because the thoughts, the evil that's polluted all around, a little attack, and it just comes into you. The shaitan puts into you. It whispers into you. And you have to say, A'udhu billah, you have to say, La ilaha illallah. Because we're living in a time of so much evil. So much evil. So much evil. The evil is so predominant that evil rules. Evil rules. Evil rules. How? Why doesn't it rule? How can you say that evil does not rule? Look how much evil rules. The shaitan says, I will command them to change what Allah has created. Now, to marry, two men could marry. Two women could marry. Tomorrow, just that day when I talked about it, Ahmad showed me, he said that they're thinking of now, okay, little children too. You can get interested in them. I say, what zulm is this? What zulm is this? And I'm not. If anybody is, this is an internet. I'm not promoting hatred against Islam. To an individual, we don't hate. To a Shia, individually, we don't hate. Hate to an individual, we hate the kufr in the Shia. We hate the kufr, or we hate this. The same marriages. We're against that. We don't hate a homosexual person or a gay person, but we hate the homosexuality in him. We'll never accept it, nor can we have that in the masjid. We can't accept it. There's thousands of politicians who don't accept it. And they're not going to be put in jail. How can they be? You have the rights to think. So how can we accept it? If you accept it, your iman is gone. Khalas. How can you accept it? When Allah says haram, had something, and then you accept that, it's gone. You're gone. Yeah, we don't hate them, nor we to teach to beat them or hurt them. No. We're not even a zani or not even a kafir we beat. Understand? Muslims are so kind. We don't beat anybody. Or we don't hurt anybody. But we hate the action of that. We cannot never ever justify it. It's not. And now, coming to that, tomorrow they'll say brothers and sisters are allowed to marry. You're allowed to marry your mother. It will happen. It will happen. So what is the world coming to? What's the world coming to? The shaitan, he's putting it all these ideas and it's coming in society. Nobody, no matter what, tell me, even when they've done an uproar against it, how it's all defeated. Defeated to extent that it's going to go ahead. Then people are going to marry brothers and sisters. No problem. All this can happen. So do we live in a time of good or evil? Do we live in a time? You know how zulm it is upon that child? That when you take your 2-year-old child and put him on your chest to sleep, think that my chest is not so soft like his mother's. It's so soft. Allah made 2 pillows nice, so soft. But my chest isn't. The baby, you know, when I take my Yusuf and I put him here like this, and I try to put, then I feel so guilty that this is so hard. How is he going to sleep like this? Then I have to put him on the pillow. But if it's his mother's chest, how nice is it? If the person has 2 fathers, what does he ever get that chest? Understand? What zulm is this upon the humanity? They have the rights to adopt children. Isn't this oppression? Isn't this oppression on humanity? That same person who's married to another man, tell him, where's your mother and father? Did you not have your mother's love that you're doing this to a child? They have rights to adopt children? I mean, see how the shaitan is ruling. What can we say? What can we do? Scream much as you want. We can cry and make dua. Allah is the changer. Allah is the changer. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come. Imam Mahdi will also come. And everything, things in the Muslim, things will happen, inshallah. But we have to cry, we have to change ourselves, that the world will change, inshallah. So this is the month of Ramadan. Allah enable us to leave it to here, inshallah. Inshallah, this book, like I said, it's a book, inshallah, all of you should buy, inshallah. It's got nice things like about the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The whole book is great, but it's got lovely, lovely pictures you can show your family, your children, and wives too. It's in English too, inshallah. So inshallah, we're going to get many of these. Inshallah, all of you buy one, and then you keep it with you. Because I don't think next, we're not going to have another Friday to do ta'lim in this. But I thought it's Friday, so the Rasulullah's name will be mentioned many times. So we'll say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah enable us to have the true love and connection. And it was very important to read Sirat. Really important to read the lives of the Sahaba. If you stay in their company, your thoughts will always be right. Your thoughts will not get polluted. Otherwise, just a little on the internet, just a little on the news, and your thoughts start getting polluted. And you think it won't, but it will. And no matter how much zikr you do too, yes, zikr will combat it, but still, it is so evil, and we don't know how evil it is. Beloved friends, what Rasulullah ﷺ said is so true, a person will sleep in the morning as a believer, wake up as a kafir, and at night too. Same thing. Why? Because this is the time that just things come into your brain, into your heart, that puts doubt into about your religion, about Islam, day by day. And people are going off. And Allah doesn't need. Allah's throwing people away off Islam. Like the way Islam is the fastest growing religion, and every one goes off Islam too. Because Allah is even throwing away rotten ones. Get out. And Allah is bringing in people like you see these converts in reverse, mashallah. They sacrifice their families. You see the hardships they go through. Allahu Akbar. So Allah is showing us, beloved friends, we need to turn to Allah. It's the month of Ramadan. We heard Maulana in his talk to mashallah, right now, today and yesterday too. You know, let's change. Let's cry. Let's cry for ourselves. Cry for the ummah. And think, we got to change. And Allah doesn't need us. Allah is very ghani. So we should all make dua for ourselves. Make dua for the ummah. It's time that we change. Allah change all of us. Allah change the situation of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. Allah accept us all and the ummah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو يا رحمن صل وسلم على النبي البرهان يا رحيم صل وسلم على النبي الوسيم يا ملك صل وسلم على النبي الورع يا قدوس، صل وسلم على النبي المقدس يا سلام، صل وسلم على النبي الأمان يا مؤمن، صل وسلم على النبي المعلن يا مهيمن، صل وسلم على النبي الميسر يا عزيز، صل وسلم على النبي المبين يا جبار، صل وسلم على النبي المختار يا متكبر، صل وسلم على النبي المتضرع يا خالق، صل وسلم على النبي السابق يا بارئ، صل وسلم على النبي البارع يا مصور، صل وسلم على النبي المذكر يا غفار، صل وسلم على النبي الشكار يا كهار، صل وسلم على النبي الذكار يا وهاب، صل وسلم على النبي الوهاب يا رزاق، صل وسلم على النبي الجواد يا فتاح، صل وسلم على النبي اللواد يا عليم، صل وسلم على النبي الحليم يا قابل، صل وسلم على النبي القاسم يا باسط، صل وسلم على النبي الشاهد يا قافد، صل وسلم على النبي الواضع يا رافع، صل وسلم على النبي الشافع يا معز، صل وسلم على النبي المعين يا مذل، صل وسلم على النبي المزيل يا سميع، صل وسلم على النبي الشفيع يا بصير، صل وسلم على النبي البشير يا حكم، صل وسلم على النبي الأكرم يا عدل، صل وسلم على النبي البطر يا لطيف، صل وسلم على النبي الحنيف يا خبير، صل وسلم على النبي النذير يا حليم، صل وسلم على النبي الحكيم يا عظيم، صل وسلم على النبي الكريم يا غفور، صل وسلم على النبي الظفور يا شكور، صل وسلم على النبي الطهور يا علي، صل وسلم على النبي التقي يا كبير، صل وسلم على النبي الأجير يا حفيظ، صل وسلم على النبي العزيز يا مقيت، صل وسلم على النبي المقيم يا حسيب، صل وسلم على النبي النسيب يا جليل، صل وسلم على النبي الخليل يا كريم، صل وسلم على النبي الرحيم يا رقيب، صل وسلم على النبي الحبيب يا مجيب، صل وسلم على النبي المنيب يا واسع، صل وسلم على النبي الخاشع يا حكيم، صل وسلم على النبي الزعيم يا ودود، صل وسلم على النبي الهجود يا مجيد، صل وسلم على النبي السعيد يا باعث، صل وسلم على النبي الراغب يا شهيد، صل وسلم على النبي الرشيد يا حق، صل وسلم على النبي الأصدق يا وكيل، صل وسلم على النبي الجليل يا قوي، صل وسلم على النبي الصفي يا متين، صل وسلم على النبي الأمين يا ولي، صل وسلم على النبي الوفي يا حميد، صل وسلم على النبي السديد يا محصي، صل وسلم على النبي المعلي يا مبدي، صل وسلم على النبي المقري يا معيد، صل وسلم على النبي المحيد يا محيي، صل وسلم على النبي الأمي يا مميت، صل وسلم على النبي المنير يا حي، صل وسلم على النبي الخير يا قيوم، صل وسلم على النبي المنصور يا واجد، صل وسلم على النبي الواعد يا ماجد، صل وسلم على النبي العابد يا واحد، صل وسلم على النبي القائد يا أحد، صل وسلم على النبي القمر يا صمد، صل وسلم على النبي البشر يا قادر، صل وسلم على النبي الشاكر يا مقتدر، صل وسلم على النبي المقتصد يا مقدم، صل وسلم على النبي المقدم يا مؤخر، صل وسلم على النبي المبشر يا أول، صل وسلم على النبي الأجمل يا آخر، صل وسلم على النبي الذاكر يا ظاهر، صل وسلم على النبي الزاهر يا باطن، صل وسلم على النبي الآمن يا والي، صل وسلم على النبي الراجي يا متعالي، صل وسلم على النبي التالي يا بر، صل وسلم على النبي البحر
يا تواب صل وسلم على النبي الحمال، يا منتقم صل وسلم على النبي المبتهل، يا عفو صل وسلم على النبي المتلول، يا رؤوف صل وسلم على النبي العطور، يا مالك الملك صل وسلم على النبي حامل لواء الحمد، يا ذا الجلال والإكرام صل وسلم على النبي الهدى والهمام، يا مقسط صل وسلم على النبي المصلح، يا جامع صل وسلم على النبي الخاضع، يا غني صل وسلم على النبي السخي، يا مغني صل وسلم على النبي المهدي، يا مانع صل وسلم على النبي الشارع، يا ضار صل وسلم على النبي الكاف، يا نافع صل وسلم على النبي الصالح، يا نور صل وسلم على النبي الروح، يا هادي صل وسلم على النبي الشافي، يا بديع صل وسلم على النبي البهي، يا باقي صل وسلم على النبي الماحي، يا وارث صل وسلم على النبي الغالب، يا رشيد صل وسلم على النبي النجيد، يا صبور صل وسلم على النبي الشكور. صلى الله عليه وسلم. First you read Durood Sharif, Salatu Salam, Rasul 11 times. You read 13 times, Kul Hu Allahu Ahad, Suri Ikhlas. And you send the reward from your Shaykh to all the Mashaykhs of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You send the reward, Isal Iswad. And you focus yourself on the heart. Focus yourself on the heart. What you have done, rise and let's concentrate on the heart. And La ilaha illallah. So that you negate everything, take it out of the heart, and you throw it off over all of your shoulders, the whole world and everything in it, and then you constant Allah illallah. La ilaha illallah. Negate everything but Allah. So you do this right now. I'm gonna give you the short one, and then after a month or two or whatever, then you can. You do this about 200 times. Yeah, after each 10, 11, after each 10, 11, 12, you read the whole Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you do this 200 times. And then, I'm not giving you illallah right now, after this, when you want to give you illallah. And then 500 times this. Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah. Just focus on your heart. And Allah, Allah, you can ignite light, Allah going to your Allah, 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 that.
That's 500.
400. And then 100 times. Allah, 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 Allah. Just focus, move. It's coming right into your heart. Listen. So the other 400, Allahu Allah is one. Allahu Allah, Allahu Allah, Allahu. So to the presence of Allahu Allah, because a person who has a sickness of love of the dunya, it takes the love of the dunya away by saying Allahu Allah. See? So that's it. So all together, that was 2 and 500, equals 700. Understand? 400, Allahu Allah, 100, Allah, Allah. Just this means that itself. Allah is the one who 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 is
اللهم تحر قلبي من نور عزك قلبي من نور معرفتك.
لا إله إلا الله سيدنا شفينا وحبيبنا سندنا مولانا وحبيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله 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 سيدنا شفينا حبيبنا سندنا مولانا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله إلا الله
إلا الله. Allah, 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 All Allah, Anybody sensing what the base taken off? Won't get it.